Welcome to Real Estate Radio Live, an informative and engaging podcast discussing everything you need to know about the world of real estate. Your host, Joe Cacera, provides you with insight and guidance on how to buy, sell, finance, and invest in real estate. He also offers real estate tax management strategies, new construction advice, home improvement tips, and much, much more. And now, to guide you around the world of real estate, here's your host and Real Estate Radio Live team leader, Joe Cacera.
Welcome in, Joe Cacera with Real Estate Radio Live. Thank you for those that are following us on Facebook. We appreciate that very much. We want to try to continue to grow the audience as much as we can. For obvious reasons, we have been sharing this information with people on live radio and podcast now for almost 8 years, and the focus has always been the same. It's education and information. What we want to do here at Real Estate Radio Live is really provide you, the consumer, with as much of that education information as you can. Not so much to make you an expert, to just give you enough information so that you can make better decisions on your real estate. You know, look for the partners, look for the right people when you're buying, selling, financing a home, anything to do with real estate. That is our focus. We'll continue to do that. For more information, you could always go to reradiolive.com. If you haven't downloaded the podcast yet, you're watching the show here on Facebook, or you haven't heard the podcast yet, you could download that at iTunes. Just type in Real Estate Radio Live. You can go anywhere really online and just type in Real Estate Radio Live. You get the podcast and follow us if you would. All right, most of the time it's Wednesdays. It's two guys talking real estate. Mike
Italian
and I, two Italian guys.
Come on.
I forget the better part of that
part. The most important
part. Two Italian guys talking real estate.
Yeah.
An old Italian guy and a young Italian guy talking real estate. How's that? Anyway, we're going to break the mold a little bit today. We have some exciting information we're going to share. Most of you may or may not heard some of the stuff on opportunity zones. We're going to dive into that. We have an expert today. So with that, I'm going to turn it over to Mike D'Ambrosio, my partner, and he'll introduce our guest, and we'll get started.
Yeah, thanks, Joe, and we're welcoming in Eric Hayden, the founder of Urban Catalyst in downtown San Jose. So, Eric, welcome in.
Welcome. Hey, thank you, guys.
Yeah.
So, Eric, we're going to be talking about opportunity zones, opportunity zone funds, I guess you'd call it, and all that good stuff. So, Eric, why don't you just start with a little bit of background on the company and what you guys do?
Sure. Urban Catalyst, we're a real estate equity company that is focused on ground-up development. You know, overall, we are very much like a traditional real estate equity fund, but we give the benefits of the Opportunity Zone legislation as far as the tax benefits to our investors.
Mm.
Geographically, we're focused on doing ground-up development in downtown San Jose,
mm-hmm.
and we already have a bunch of great projects in our pipeline that we start working on.
Very nice. So, let's talk about how Opportunity Zone funds were created and how that even came about. I mean, Joe and I tried to fumble through this a little bit on a podcast a few months back.
We said, let's get an expert
yeah.
in.
Exactly. I mean, we had a bunch of information, and I think we gave out some generics, but talk a little bit about how that all came about.
Sure. So Opportunity Zone legislation came about as a part of the 2017 Tax Cuts and Jobs Act. Mm. A lot of people called that the Trump tax plan, and
right.
now that we're after April 15th here, everybody's sort of really understanding what that all meant. You know, the federal government, what they really wanted to do is they wanted to create a vehicle in which a lot of cash flow flowed into these lower income mm-hmm. areas, mm-hmm. really to create economic development.
Makes sense.
And so what they did is they designated census tracts across the country. You know, these census tracts can qualify as opportunity zones, but they left it up to the state governments to choose exactly which of these census tracts they wanted to designate mm. as opportunity zones. They allowed each state to choose 25% of the eligible tracts.
Mm.
So in April of 2018, Governor Jerry Brown selected California's opportunity zones.
So the governor actually selected the zones. Did they work in conjunction with the mayors or people that were more local to figure out where these areas
back then, not a lot of people really focused on opportunity mm-hmm. zones, and so there wasn't a ton of dialogue going around about it. But the state did attempt to get, you know, some feedback from residents, from local governments.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, my partner, Josh Burrows, he helped San Jose lobby the state government in order to get the designated mm-hmm. census tracts in San Jose. San Jose ended up with 11 tracts.
Okay. Yeah, and Josh is how we know, you know, I know you. Josh has been on the show
yeah,
probably a couple
right.
times, probably with you individually,
mm-hmm.
with me, and I've known Josh for many years, and there's not many more people than Josh that know as much about downtown and what's going on downtown, and what developments are going on downtown. So I know there's a reason why he's on your team.
Well, I'll tell you what, you know, Josh is a fantastic guy. And when I learned that all of downtown San Jose had been designated as an opportunity zone area, my first call was to Josh. Josh, we need to do something about this.
So how much did they designate down there? I mean, it's
almost the entire downtown,
really?
Except for a small area where the convention center is and a little portion of San Jose State. But most of Diridon Station and most of the core downtown area is in the Opportunity Zone.
Are these zones currently occupied or owned by certain big corporations? Like, you know, Google's buying a bunch of already space down. Mm-hmm. Is that totally separate from what we're talking about here?
Yeah, I mean, Opportunity Zones are just the census tracts.
Okay.
So if, you know, a portion of Google's property that they purchase is in the zone, and then the majority of it is not.
Got it. Okay.
And I think even parts of the airport, too, right, are part of it, and then even other parts of San Jose, but Urban Catalyst is, you guys are really focused in downtown, right?
We are. Yeah. We're very focused in downtown. I'd say as a fund, you know, geographically, we're looking at the whole Bay Area, but we're definitely starting in San Jose.
Right.
And there's a reason for that. I mean, everybody likes San Jose, but San Jose specifically, because of the Silicon Valley job engine, creating a demand for all different product types as far as office, you know, residential. Also because of the transit and infrastructure located in downtown. I mean, Diridon Station is the largest multimodal station on the West Coast. And then finally, the local government in downtown San Jose has really, you know, put their best foot forward trying to streamline the development process. They're very developer-friendly.
Mm-hmm.
And really, those three attributes is why we think downtown San Jose is the best opportunity zone in California, if not in the entire country.
Wow. To me, it sounds like, as much as research we've done, we've talked about it, it seems like it's a win-win for everybody. It seems like. Some people are skeptical about anything, right? No matter what you do,
100%.
There's something going on, or I don't quite understand or believe what you're doing. But this seems like on the surface that it's a win-win. You're taking areas that are being redeveloped, and you have some investment opportunities. The city can only gain from it, the consumers, the tax base. Am I missing anything, or is it a win-win for most?
You know, it's a win-win for most, and you can see that, you know, when this law was passed, when it got it put into the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act, the bill was sponsored by a Republican and a Democrat, and it had massive bipartisan support because it combines a tax benefit vehicle with the improvement of lower income areas. So it's definitely a win-win.
Yeah. So if someone's listening to the show, and I hope there's someone listening to the show, I'm kidding, but there'll be lots. Anyway, they're thinking, gee, you know, this is interesting. Is this a situation where an individual, a citizen, someone could say, how do I invest in something like this? How do I get involved? How do I learn more? Talk a little bit about that.
Sure. So this is really one of the first programs that puts individuals sort of on the same level as pension funds and endowment funds when it comes to investing in real estate. So it's very easy to invest in an opportunity fund. And by the way, you have to invest through an opportunity fund to invest in an opportunity zone and receive the preferential tax treatment.
Ah, that
so
makes sense.
There's,
okay.
There's a couple kinds of funds. There's multi-asset funds and single asset funds. Here at Urban Catalyst, we're a multi-asset fund. So we have a variety of properties that we're going to be developing. Investing in our fund is very simple. You invest capital gains. That capital gains has to be in a 180-day window, very similar to the time frame for a 1031 exchange.
Okay.
And for us, there isn't any, you know, identifying a property within 45 days and closing escrow.
Like a 1031.
Right.
Yeah.
It's very simple.
Yeah.
You go out, you read our private placement memorandum, you sign a subscription agreement, you wire money to the fund account, and then next year on your tax forms, you fill out one line, says, I invested in an opportunity fund on this date and this amount, and that's what gives you the seven-year deferral of your capital gains tax payment.
So let's go back, because a capital gains event, so for a lot of people out there, engineers or people that have a lot of stock in tech company that want to sell off some, want to maybe diversify, that would be a capital gains event that they could invest into an opportunity zone, right?
You know, Mike, that's a great point.
Yeah.
This is really any type of capital gain. So in the past, you know, you think 1031, it's a real estate transaction. This could be from the sale of stock or the sale of a business or the sale of a partnership. So it really gives a lot more flexibility. We've had a lot of investors that have come from the high-tech fields. You know, you see things like Uber going public, you know, Pinterest, Zoom, all of those folks are going to have these big capital gains events coming up, and now they finally have a way to defer those capital gains.
Wow.
So I'm putting my opinion in here, I guess, a little bit, but what probably isn't good for those of you out there listening is you're going to be tying your money up to realize the actual benefits of this for a long time. Well, I mean, in the grand scheme of things, 7 years, 10 years goes by pretty fast if you think about it. But it's not going to be like a year or two thing. This is a long-term play.
It absolutely is. Our fund has a minimum 10-year hold. But let me kind of explain that in a little bit more detail.
Mm-hmm.
So I mentioned from the day you invest in an opportunity fund, you don't have to pay your taxes really until December 31st, 2026.
Okay.
When you pay your taxes 7 years later, you get a 15% discount. It's really a step up in basis.
Wow.
But in essence, if you owed $100, you only owe $85.
Okay.
And the third benefit, which is the major benefit, is that after having your money in an opportunity fund for 10 years,
mm-hmm.
when that fund liquidates, all of the profits from the fund itself are tax-free mm-hmm. from a federal capital gains perspective.
Boy, that sounds pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, those are good opportunities to get out. So there's probably, I'm guessing, a lot of different funds, people creating funds, groups creating funds, mm-hmm. the development like anything, what would you recommend? Obviously, you guys have a good reputation. What would you recommend if someone starts investigating or learning, they're interested in this, do their due diligence? Kind of give us the steps they would take in that.
So the first thing that everybody should do is talk with their own tax attorney mm-hmm. or accountant to determine their capital gains, how much it is.
You sound like me when I'm on a listing appointment or something like that. Talk to your CPA. I can't provide tax advice, but it's smart. You have to.
Right. And then the next thing to do, of course, is to do your research. Look for a platform that you would be interested in investing mm-hmm. in. And I say that specifically, there's a lot of different kinds of opportunity funds, like you mentioned. What makes Urban Catalyst a little bit different? You know, you see some of these funds out there, like Jared Kushner has a fund and Steve Scaramucci has a fund. These are these large funds. They're East Coast funds. They say they're raising, you know, billions mm-hmm. of dollars. These guys are great at raising money,
mm-hmm.
but they're not real estate developers.
Yeah.
What
you guys
they
are
do,
developers first. Yeah, yeah.
We're developers first. Yeah. We have a product, and now we're out on the market with our projects raising money.
Mm-hmm.
So we're very focused in San Jose. If you like San Jose real estate and you like local developers with boots on the ground, we're the kind of company mm-hmm. that you want to invest in. However, there are other vehicles out there a little different.
That's interesting. Let me piggyback on that a little bit. So you're saying that you guys, it's a great fit. You're developers first. You know what you're doing. You're taking this money in because you have a very specific plan
mm-hmm.
on what you want to do and how you want to execute. But there could be other groups with big names starting funds, and they may not be developers at all. So they collect this money, and then do they partner with developers, and how does that go? And then it's almost like you have a multi-tiered level broker type system. How does that work?
Yeah. You know, this is very typical for a lot of the large funds partnering with developers.
Okay.
Developers, in general, it's a very local market.
Okay.
So the big funds that are great at raising money,
mm-hmm.
they have decent relationships with development partners. But one of the big regulations for opportunity funds, one of the rules we have to follow,
mm-hmm.
is that we have to deploy all of our money within 31 months of receiving it into our fund. So because we're developers, because we have projects, and because we control that timeline,
mm-hmm.
we're able to meet that requirement. We find that a lot of the big funds, you know, they kind of have a chicken and an egg going on
okay.
where
mm-hmm.
they could raise the money, but they don't have any projects, but then they're not acquiring projects because they don't have any money.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
So that kind of gives us a step ahead. It,
mm-hmm.
it really, when you boil down this program, it is designed for, you know, real estate developers like mm-hmm. us.
Talk about some of the projects, if you can talk about some of the projects.
Yes, guys, I
okay.
can.
Because I know you guys are working on some pretty cool stuff, so
mm-hmm.
maybe give us a taste of what you have going on.
So I mentioned we have 6 projects in our pipeline, mm-hmm. and I can specifically talk about one of our projects, the Fountain Alley building.
Okay.
We got into contract to purchase the property and do a joint venture with one of our strategic advisors, Gary Dillabaugh,
mm-hmm.
in January. And we're closing escrow here in April, a little bit later this month. The project will be a 70,000 square foot building right on Fountain Alley. So it's right on the corner of First Street and Santa Clara Street
yeah.
in downtown San Jose, next to the iconic Bank of Italy.
Yep.
And we're going to be putting retail on the ground floor and then building, say, around 60 to 65,000 square feet of office above that.
Mm.
We've also purchased, or we're in contract to purchase, the historic building right next door to this property.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to make that the main entrance to our brand new office. So you walk into this beautiful historic building. historic lobby, you get into an elevator, and you go to a brand new modern office space.
That's cool.
And with what's going on at the Bank of Italy, they're doing a $40 million renovation. Mm-hmm. They're going to be putting retail all along Fountain Alley, and we're also going to be wrapping retail along Fountain Alley. And it's really going to create a synergy that really makes it a destination for people to come to and shop and hang out.
This is on a bigger scale. You know, for years, I grew up here, been here my entire life, and I've called it, you know, the last several decades, there's been a lot of false starts in downtown San Jose. Mm-hmm. Everybody will get all excited. Yeah, this is coming. It's finally coming. Downtown San Jose is going to finally do what it's supposed to do. And the false start, and everybody would be disappointed, and there you go. And then it seemed to me, as I look back the last couple of years, all of a sudden high-tech was running out of space, and everybody started looking around going, where can we go? We need some more space. Well, downtown San Jose. So that seemed to me to almost start driving the ship in that direction. Now, all of a sudden, desirable area for the most part because they ran out of space in Sunnyvale Mountain, all these places. And so now with developments like this, you could just see, how do you see downtown San Jose in 7 to 10 years from now? It may be looking completely different than it does today.
Oh, 100%. Yeah. And what you're saying is so hitting the nail on the head. It is a factor of running out of space. I mean, you see the office developments off the 237 really being built out. Mm-hmm. And you say, where do you go next?
Yeah.
And the big move, of course, that everybody's been talking about is Google coming to downtown San Jose. And they have publicly stated that they want to build 8 million square feet of office. Mm-hmm. They've already purchased land in the neighborhood of $300 million worth of land. And we've heard through the grapevine that it's not going to be 8 million square feet. It's going to be closer to 15 million square feet. Even at 8 million square feet, it'll be their largest campus on Earth. At 15 million square feet, we're talking 75,000 new employees in downtown San Jose every day.
Wow.
And that's just one company. I mean, you also see Boston Properties has just announced they're building a 1 million square foot office building in downtown. Adobe just...
They're building a new tower.
Mm-hmm, yeah. That's right next to our office, so we get to watch the construction.
Right, yeah.
That's a 750,000 square
foot
tower.
When I went to your guys' launch party, there was nothing going on there. And then the last time I met with Josh, the whole parking lot was...
Oh, yeah.
They're starting. They're starting up.
They've got their yellow machines out there moving dirt.
Yeah.
Wow.
And then Gary Dillabaugh coming in, buying a bunch of properties. He's right now entitling the Valley Title Project for 1 million square feet of office. Mm. And then a prolific developer, Jay Paul, has come into town. He bought City View Plaza for $283 million.
Wow.
It currently has 600,000 square feet of office space on that parcel, and he's planning on scraping that and building somewhere in the neighborhood of 1.5 to 2.5 million square feet of office.
And this is why the transportation part is really important, too. Not to get too far off topic, because we're talking opportunity zones, but he mentioned the Diridon Station. Sorry, I couldn't think of it for a second. But that's why it's really important. It's a big charge for the mayor, too, Sam Liccardo, and it has been. And I think a reason for the revitalization, not to give him too much credit, but he deserves some credit as far as he's driving a lot of this downtown revitalization and development and bringing in Google and partners like that to help the whole thing.
You know, I mentioned the local government is very pro-development.
Yeah.
I mean, before Sam was the mayor, he was the council member for District 3, which is all of downtown San Jose, for quite some time.
Right.
And he was the person that spearheaded some of the fee reductions and deferrals and incentivized developers to do development in downtown. He's the one that's made it possible, and why I say I really am pleased with San Jose and the progress they've made to help developers build down there. But to answer your former question, what is San Jose going to look like in 8 to 10 years?
Different.
It's going to have so many more people. The way that we see it, our fund, we're raising $250 million. We're going to be able to leverage that into almost $2 billion in development projects in San Jose.
Wow.
And that means we're going to be doing, say, in the neighborhood of 15 to 25 buildings in San Jose.
Yeah.
And I like to say we're hoping to help solve the housing crisis with our projects. We're going to add office space in downtown to meet the demand of, you know, the giant tech companies that are all moving downtown, but also meet the demand of a lot of the, you know, local downtown tenants that have been there for 20 years that now are being, you know, moved out, like from Jay Paul's project.
Right.
We'll be able to put those into some of our projects because we do have some multi-tenant buildings in the pipeline. My goal is 10 years from now, downtown San Jose will just have people on the streets. There's going to be outdoor cafes, really successful retail, outdoor flower markets. You're really going to feel like you're in a vibrant urban area that makes people happy and makes people want to be there.
No, that's great. It's exciting, and especially, again, for someone that grew up here and I've seen it. And it's always been kind of sad. Downtown San Jose was always an afterthought. It really was.
Yeah.
And it's too bad. It is what it is, right? But all of a sudden now that is completely changing, mm-hmm. and now it could be cool again, right?
Oh,
or not again.
It's becoming
cool
again.
It could be cool once. But no, it's exciting to see for everybody here. And then, you know, the opportunities here, before we have about 5 or 6 minutes left, but if someone wants to invest or, again, get more information on this, Eric, where would they go? Is there a website, contact
sure.
information? What's the best place for them to
go?
Go
to urbancatalyst.com.
Okay.
You can check out some of our videos, our blog. You can learn more information about us. And, you know, feel free to reach out to us. We'd love to have you in our office and have a conversation with you about how you can invest in Opportunity Zone funds.
That's very good. So is there a goal you guys are trying to reach as far as funds raised or their threshold? Can you talk about that?
Yeah, so we're raising a $250 million fund.
Okay.
We started fundraising in January of this year.
All right.
And we'll have the fund close when we reach 250 or at the end of 2019.
Great.
It more than likely it'll be sooner than that based upon really the traction we've been getting in the market. Obviously, this is a great program.
Right.
And we're Silicon Valley's first multi-asset opportunity fund. And we're really picking up, I would call it, the choice properties in downtown San Jose because there isn't a whole lot of competition yet from other opportunity funds.
I want to make sure that before we go too, that people that really understand, if you could go through again with them the benefits of the tax benefits, those that give us some situations. You talked a little bit about, I think it's worthy though, one more time, those that are listening, thinking, gosh, why is this so important and why is there some potential opportunity for a lot of people? So go through those again for
sure.
You. Give us some examples of what people might be able to do, transfer money in terms of things that they do to avoid those taxes.
100%. And first and foremost, I want to say that Opportunity Zone funds, they really have to be good real estate equity funds.
Okay.
The big benefit is tax-free profits at the end of 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
There have to be profits in order to take advantage of that benefit.
Okay.
So you want to find a group that does great work and that has a great track record of successful development projects.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
The three benefits, I'll repeat again, that you get: defer your capital gains for 7 years, you get a 15% discount when you pay your taxes 7 years from now, and after 10 years, all the profits are tax-free. And a couple of examples, you know, right now we have some investors from a couple of high-tech companies,
mm-hmm.
Say Facebook or Google. They had stock options. They didn't want to sell their stock options, but they also wanted to diversify their
mm-hmm.
portfolio, but they didn't want to pay taxes. And so now you have a vehicle where you can diversify your portfolio into real estate without paying taxes.
Right.
A couple of other ones, for example, in a 1031 exchange, which is what a lot of folks do when
mm-hmm.
they sell real estate in order not to or to defer their capital gains mm-hmm. taxes, there are a lot of rules specifically all about how you can do a 1031 and how you can't do them if you own the property in a partnership.
Mm.
So we find a lot of folks sell their real estate. It's a partnership. It's not actually a transaction.
I see. Okay.
And they are able to defer their capital gains by investing with us instead.
Okay. And then also you'd mentioned again before, we'll say it again, check with your CPA, attorney, all those things, obviously a disclaimer there. But so if someone sold a business, would be another potential opportunity, mm-hmm. right?
Sure. We had an investor that sold a pharmaceutical company
mm-hmm.
that, you know, he was a pharmacist and
wow.
he owned his company and he sold it and he had some great capital gains and decided to defer those gains in our fund.
Do you know what the reason is behind the 7 years versus 10? Because to me, it's like if you've already made it 7 years and you get the 15, why not just wait the other three to get the 100, right? The 100% off.
Well,
is there a reason for that?
Well, so what it is you get 15% off on the taxes that you originally were going to have to pay.
Okay.
So, for example, our fund, we have a projected multiple of 10. So mm-hmm. if you invest $1 million, we're going to give you your money back plus $9 million.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Now, it's that $9 million of profit
right.
that you don't have to pay taxes on. You still have to pay your taxes on the $1 million that you initially
right,
invested.
Right, right, right.
Okay.
That's important.
Okay, got it.
But I'll tell you what, that is a very common thing, so thank you for clarifying.
Yeah, no, that's good. Yeah, I'm glad I did because it's getting...
So no taxes on the profits.
Yeah, from a federal capital gains perspective. I mean, it's an amazing new vehicle that for the first time ever gives people these benefits. I mean, it really is something that people are going to be utilizing for the next 20
mm-hmm.
years. This is a program that's here to last. It really reminds me of when they created 1031 exchanges 25 years ago, and everybody's trying to figure them out. That's where we are right now with opportunity funds.
It's going to be interesting to see kind of what happens and unfolds as
it's exciting.
Yeah.
Well, before we wrap up, again, one more time, those interested, how would they get a hold of you, Eric?
visit urbancatalyst.com.
Okay.
And check out our blog, check out our articles, contact us, learn about opportunity funds. We're more than happy to talk with you. We'd love to host you in our office or get on a call with you.
Great. You guys have a Facebook page and all that, I'm sure, as well, right?
Yes, we have a Facebook page, Instagram
media,
account, Twitter account, all that good stuff. Be sure to find us on all of those mediums and connect.
I'm told that a guy my age has to keep asking about that. So. All right, thanks, Eric.
All right.
Good. Mike,
thank
good
you,
job.
Eric.
This is Joe Couture with Real Estate Radio Live. Thanks again for those that are tuning in. Thank you to those for their following us on Facebook. Again, if you have not downloaded the podcast, go to reradiolive.com. Take care. Have a great afternoon.
You've been listening to Real Estate Radio Live. For more information on today's program, visit reradiolive.com. That's reradiolive.com. Subscribe to our podcast. Discover more at reradiolive.com.